Judith Leigh, and it's my pleasure to welcome you to the start of our special programming here on Manx Radio for this Remembrance Sunday. At 11 o'clock this morning, we'll be observing 2 minutes silence and broadcasting the wreath-laying ceremony at the Douglas War Memorial. And this afternoon at 3, we'll bring you the National Service of Remembrance from the Royal Chapel at St John's. But right now, it's time for me to wish you a very good morning, Moramai, as the island's Christian community is once again at your service. Manx Radio. This morning, we're at your service with a special programme of true stories, prayers, reflections and music for this Remembrance Sunday. Wallingford Parish Church Choir with the hymn popularly sung at remembrance services, I vow to thee, my country, all earthly things above, entire and whole and perfect, the service of my love. The words are by a British diplomat, Sir Cecil Spring Rice, and set to music by Gustav Holst, using an adapted version of Jupiter from his Planets Suite. A Bible reading often used on Remembrance Day comes from the Old Testament, from a book written by the prophet Micah. Micah lived about 800 years before the birth of Christ. He'd witnessed the horrors of war at first hand and appears to have been deeply affected by them. Micah speaks out against the leaders who've led the people into conflict and criticizes the weakness of human plans compared to the wisdom of God and his ways. The reading speaks of the new hope that there'll be when God's values of justice and peace direct how we live. It is then, and only then, that people will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks.
In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and peoples will stream to it. Many nations will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths." The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between many peoples, and will settle disputes for strong nations far and wide. They will beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war any more. Everyone will sit under their own vine and under their own fig tree, and no one will make them afraid, for the Lord Almighty has spoken.
On this Remembrance Day, we come in gratitude for all who have died so that we may live, for all who endured pain so that we might know joy, for all who suffered imprisonment so that we might know freedom. Turn our deep feelings now into determination and our determination into deed so that, as people died for peace, we may live for peace and work tirelessly to bring into our world the kingdom values of justice and peace for all God's people. Choir Boys and Let There Be Peace on Earth. Later in the programme, I'll be playing a brand new recording of a much-loved hymn by the very popular Military Wives Choirs, and it commemorates the centenary of one of the most poignant stories of World War I. In Westminster Abbey on November the 11th, Armistice Day, there'll be a special service remembering the burial 100 years ago this week of the unknown warrior. Of the 1 million British and Commonwealth service men and women killed in World War I, some 165,000 would never receive a proper burial. Many were left in unmarked graves on the battlefields where they fell. Some were simply never found. This tragic loss of life and the ongoing suffering of families with no place to mourn led to an idea, and in 1920, one of the fallen, rank, regiment and service all unknown, was returned from the battlefields of Europe and buried in Westminster Abbey, with all the honour that a war and flu-ravaged country could muster. 100 years ago, as the nameless soldier was laid to rest in Westminster Abbey, "Abide with Me" rang out and a nation came together. To commemorate the centenary of the journey, members of the Military Wives Choirs from across the country have recorded a new version of the hymn. "Abide With Me" was one of two tracks that survived experimental recording at the original ceremony and became the first electrical recording ever sold to the public. The brand new version of "Abide With Me" by the Military Wives Choirs features a trumpeter from the Band of the Scots Guards and a string orchestra. I'll play it for you a little bit later in the programme. We always need facts to fully understand any situation. but I think it's personal stories, the experiences of people just like us, that touch us most deeply and live on in our memory. We're joined now by Reverend David and Jacqueline Shurtliff to share stories of real people whose everyday lives were changed forever by their experiences in the two world wars.
Sergeant Jack Dorgan, 7th Battalion, the Northumberland Fusiliers. Private Bob Young was conscious right to the last. I lay alongside of him and said, "Can I do anything for you, Bob?" He said, "Straighten my legs, Jack." But he had no legs. I touched the bones and that satisfied him. Then he said, "Get my wife's photograph out of my breast pocket." I took the photograph and put it in his hands. He couldn't move. He couldn't lift a hand. He couldn't lift a finger. But somehow he held his wife's photo on his chest. And that is how Bob Young died. Private W. Underwood, 1st Canadian Division. I was given 7 days number one field punishment, which consists of being tied on a wagon wheel. You're spread-eagled with the hub of the wheel in your back, and your legs and wrists handcuffed to the wheel. You'd do 2 hours up and 4 hours down for 7 days, day and night, and the cold. It was January 1915, a really cold month, and when they took you down, they had to rub you to get the circulation going in your limbs again. And the only reason I was there was because I missed a roll call.
Kitty Eckersley. When I found out that I was pregnant, I went to see them at the leatherworks, and they said they would find me some light work. So I had a very nice job and worked there until I was 7 months pregnant. I didn't go out much because I had a very bad time during my pregnancy. I was very thin at the time. My mother had a little job picking strawberries at a jam factory, so there was only me in the house when I heard the postman come. I knew there would be a letter for me, so I ran down in my nightdress and opened the door, snatched the letter off him and ran in and shut the door again. I opened the letter and saw it was from his sergeant. It just said, "I'm very sorry to tell you of the death of your husband." Well, that was as far as I could read. I don't really know what happened over the next few minutes, but I must have run out of my house just as I was, in my bare feet, and banged on the next door. They brought some blankets and wrapped me up in them and sent for my mother, so she came home and treated me for shock. The letter was only from his sergeant, so I thought perhaps it was an error. So later on I wrote back to the sergeant, but I had another letter to say that he also had been killed. Then, later on, I got the official news. The tailor. I was only 21 and recently married when the war started. My husband was drafted into the tank regiment a few months after we were married, and I spent the war years making Army, Naval and Air Force uniforms. I lived 5 minutes away from the nearest air raid shelter. As soon as the sirens rang out, I would wrap up blankets, pillow and food and run as fast as I could to the shelter. Everyone shared their food and drink and sang, and as soon as the sirens rang out again with the all clear, we would all go home. My family suffered as many others in different countries all over the world. I had 8 fit brothers at the start of the war. At the end, one was killed in Burma. One lost an eye when a Bren gun backfired. One lost his hearing when a horse kicked him in the head. And one was invalided out when his wife committed suicide by throwing herself out of the bedroom window. The war was a time of sorrow, but great comradeship existed, and everyone shared what they had. The daughter. It starts with my grandfather, who lost his arm in World War I and his son in World War II. He was my father figure and a constant reminder of war and its effects upon people and families. He always said that losing his arm was the best thing that happened to him. He was invalided out of the army, was able to set up his own market stall and eventually a small shop before the flood of men came looking for jobs in 1918. And he always had his pension to supplement his income. In the end, though, it was having no arm that killed him. He missed his footing and fell from a bus when he was 90. So I was aware of the effects of war, even before I was old enough to know that my own father had died at Arnhem, when in September 1944 he was shot down and his parachute didn't open. I was born in January 1945. My mother did not have the confirmation of my father's death until VE Day, the 8th of May 1945, as everyone else celebrated. Her loss was proved. My grandfather, he never attended church after World War II and never spoke to me about his beliefs. The effects of war are still present in our family.
Reconciliation in Katyn among European women. The people of Bielorussia, now Belarus, suffered intensely in the Second World War, which they refer to as the Great Patriotic War. As the Germans conquered, they followed a deliberate policy of extermination of the people. In the event, more than three-quarters of the population survived, but even so, well over 2 million people died during these terrible years. In October 1987, the members of the Ecumenical Forum of European Christian Women visited the site of Katyn, one of the villages whose entire population had been exterminated. Katyn was a small village of 26 households, protected against the winds by white birch trees and tall pines. It was neat and cosy, with its Shaduf wells and thick lilac bushes in the front gardens. On the 22nd of March 1943, the life of Katyn came to an end. A detachment of soldiers entered the village and drove all the inhabitants into a barn, to which they set fire. When some of the people trapped inside battered down the door and tried to escape, they were mown down by machine gun fire. 149 people were exterminated, among them 75 children. Only one man survived. Today, a great marble slab covers the communal grave of the villagers. The gigantic black statue of a father, the one man who escaped, stands dwarfing the landscape, as forever he holds his dead child in his arms. On the site of each chimney, in the ruins of each house of Katyn, there now stands a small bell tower. Constantly, in sequence, morning bells ring out, each one a memorial to a different village that was destroyed and never rebuilt. A wall of life commemorates, in metal names, all the villages that were rebuilt. A long row of niches bears the names of concentration camps in which thousands of people died in agony. Before a black memorial slab, the eternal flame burns. The group of women walked slowly round, stopping at three places to pray and sing and lay red carnations. At the end, the West German woman in the party stood before the eternal flame in tears. She felt the guilt of the whole German nation on her German shoulders. It was the Russian woman who went to her, put her arms around her, and said,
"Don't cry. Don't blame yourself. That's history. What we must make sure of now is that it never happens again. We must work for peace." As a result of the initiative of the German woman, the Ecumenical Forum of European Christian Women now runs a number of projects in Belarus for children who suffer as a result of the Chernobyl nuclear disaster.
Let us pray to Almighty God for the needs of the world.
Where there is war and conflict, we pray for peace and security. Where there is injustice and oppression, we pray for justice and freedom. Where there is hatred and distrust, we pray for harmony and understanding. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. We pray for world leaders and all who exercise influence over others, that they may act wisely and justly and seek the common good. For the United Nations and all international organizations working for justice and peace, that they may be strengthened and upheld by your presence. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. We pray for all who suffer as a result of war, in body and mind or spirit, for all who have lost their homes and possessions. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. We pray for all who have died in war, those who have taken up arms, those caught up in conflicts in any way, and all innocent victims of war and violence. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We offer these prayers through our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ.
Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you. It's been said that truly great people forget themselves. That's why they're remembered. During the Second World War, a Russian Orthodox nun, Mother Maria, was imprisoned by the Nazis for helping the Jews. One day she saw a woman being led towards the gas chamber. She was crying hysterically. So Mother Maria put her arm around her and told her not to be frightened, that she would come into the gas chamber with her. Mother Maria died cradling that woman in her arms. Most of us are unlikely ever to be famous, but there is a kind of greatness we can all achieve, being remembered by others for forgetting ourselves.
Thank you to Reverend David and Jacqueline Shurtliff, who read stories taken from Beyond Our Tears, Resources for Times of Remembrance, edited by Jean Mayland, and also led us in prayer. Let's finish now with a few items from this week's church notice board. The Cathedral in Peel have a choral Eucharist for remembrance this morning at 10:30, and then this afternoon at 3, the Royal British Legion have their service of remembrance at the Cathedral, with music by Castletown Metropolitan Silver Band. Christchurch in Laxey invite you to join them for their remembrance service today at 10:30. It'll be entirely in the church, and the Christchurch family will be joined by the congregation of Agnish and Minorca Methodist Churches. Grace Baptist Church in Port Erin invite you to a musical evening with the Shimmers, Ruth Tickle, John Snelling, Jane Corkill and Paul Costain, on Friday, November the 13th at 7:30. Grace Baptist Church is in Brideson Street in Port Erin. There'll be refreshments and an epilogue, and admission is free. And next Sunday evening, the Mariners Choir will be at Trinity Church at Rosemount, here in Douglas. The service starts at 6:30. Gareth Moore is the organist. The soloists are Graham Crowe and Dillis Sowry, and I have the privilege of being involved in the service too. As usual, it'll be followed by supper and community hymn singing, and all are welcome. And that's all we have time for today. Manx Radio's special programming for this Remembrance Sunday continues after the 10 o'clock news with a John Moss documentary, Dunkirk, 80 Years On. Then at 11 o'clock, we'll be observing 2 minutes silence, and Ben and Sian will bring you coverage of the wreath-laying ceremony at the Douglas War Memorial. This afternoon at 3, John Moss and Howard Kane will be in St John's to bring you full coverage of the National Service of Remembrance in the Royal Chapel and the wreath-laying ceremony which follows it outside at the War Memorial. So, it's just time for me to say a very sincere thank you to you for your company today, and if you'd like to choose a hymn for the programme, I'd love to hear from you. Email me anytime on judithleigh@manxradio.com, and Leigh is spelled L-E-Y. I'm back here tonight with Sundown from 9 o'clock, and again next Sunday morning, either from 7 a.m. as a podcast via our website, manxradio.com, or on your radio at 9:30, when the Christian community of the island will once again be at your service. But right now, this is Judith, thinking of you and those you love and those you're parted from at this time. I wish you a safe and blessed week, and a very good morning.
The Nation Station, Manx Radio.